In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. During Great Lent, we read from the Old Testament instead of from the New Testament as a general rule, the daily readings. And we read in the sixth hour, we read from Isaiah. And then also in Vespers, we read from Genesis and Wisdom, Proverbs. Now, it's really apropos to be reading from the Old Testament as we are contemplating the beginning of the New with the coming of the Lord and, of course, His Pascha. And that is because Isaiah, probably more than any of the Old Testament books, really speaks about the human condition. It's all about Israel, but it's really about the human condition. And about the need for a Messiah, and about the results of sin, and about the coming of the Messiah. There are some very important prophecies about the coming of Jesus Christ in Isaiah. Genesis is about beginnings, right? About the way things should have been, and then the way things transpired. And so it's apropos to read about the beginnings when we are reading about also, shall we say, the end, Christ, the Alpha and the Omega for us. And then Proverbs is wisdom literature, and it is completely apropos to read about wise sayings, because the resurrection should cause us to grow in wisdom. Now, in the sixth hour, we always read from Isaiah, so we read that today before the pre-sanctified liturgy. And we've been reading in Isaiah chapter, 5 and 6 recently. And yesterday, or perhaps the day before, was the parable of the vineyard that the Lord also said in the New Testament. But this is a slightly different parable with parallels to the New Testament. The Lord changed it, just like He changed a lot of things. The commandments, the Ten Commandments, said things like, thou shalt not kill, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, what did the Lord say? He said, if you even look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery. If you even call your brother Raca, or empty fool, empty-headed fool, you're liable of hell, liable to hellfire. So it's the same as murder. So the Lord showed the inner meaning of the commandments. Well, He also showed, He changed the vineyard parable slightly to show us some of its inner meaning. But in Isaiah, it's extremely amazing. It's very similar. It starts out very similar to the New Testament parable. Now will I sing to my beloved a song of my beloved concerning my vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a hill high in a fertile place, and I made a hedge around it, and dug a trench, and planted a choice vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and dug a place for the wine vat in it, and I waited for it to bring forth grapes, and it brought forth thorns. So far, except for the thorns, everything is basically about the same. The Lord gave the parable during His earthly life about the vineyard and the hedge. He didn't mention a trench, but He did mention, of course, that it was going to grow grapes, the choice vine, and a tower, and the wine press. But this parable says that He waited for it to grow grapes, but it grew thorns. In the next parable, in the New Testament, it did grow grapes. Now, why this difference? Well, the vineyard is Israel. But don't think it's just Israel, a bunch of Jews who lived and died a long time ago. It's us. Because where the sins of Israel are recounted, and they had many terrible sins, that's the sins of our soul. That's the way the human soul is. And when the judgment of Israel is recounted, and it's spoken of in Isaiah and many, many other places in the Old Testament, that is the result of sin. Like I've told you many times, personalize the Scripture. When it speaks of the sins of Israel, these are your sins. Whether or not you've committed all of them or not, you're certainly capable of it. So, when the vineyard brought forth thorns, this is where we are called to bring forth good works, fruits of righteousness, but we do not. So the Lord, or I should say Isaiah, but really the Lord in this parable says, "What shall I do any more to my vineyard that I have not done to it?" He asks this question and he answers it in a little bit. Remember, the vineyard was planted with grapes, but it brought forth thorns, which means our sins. And the Lord in this parable is saying, "What more can I do?" Well, first, he says the results of sin. Then he says what he will do to the vineyard. So he says, "Whereas I expected it to bring forth grapes, but it has brought forth thorns, and now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be for a spoil, and I will pull down its walls, and it shall be left to be trodden down, and I will forsake my vineyard, and it shall not be pruned nor dug, and thorns shall come upon it as upon a barren land, and I will command the clouds to rain no rain upon it." Terrible judgment. In other words, this vineyard is going to be completely devastated. The wall coming down, the wall is protection, right? There's no protection for the vineyard for our soul when we sin. And things are spoiled and ruined. The walls are pulled down and everything is destroyed when we sin. But then he says, after he says this, talking about the results of sin, he says something intensely beautiful and amazing. This is why you should read the Old Testament. Because every page of the Old Testament points towards Christ. It's about Christ. This is intensely wonderful. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the man of Judah his beloved plant." So he speaks of the vineyard bringing forth thorns, meaning our sins. "What shall I do?" he asks. And then he describes what would happen if there is no intervention. The vineyard becomes completely ruined and spoiled. Without God, we have no hope. But then he says, "The man of Judah is his beloved plant. Whereas we could not be righteous, Jesus Christ can be. And he is of the tribe of Judah, isn't he? Isn't this man of Judah referring to our Lord Jesus Christ?" So after the results of sin are given, and after it is made clear that the Jews and us would not be capable of being righteous, the solution is given. The beloved plant of the man of Judah. And so he, in the Old Testament parable, must come and populate the vineyard. Now, in the New Testament parable, there are some differences, and it's about us having a requirement that when we believe, we must also do. There's many very intricate theological things about the New Testament parable. But the reason why you should read things like Isaiah is because it's right here, the predicament of man. It's always been this way. In ancient times, when the Jews were doing their foolish things and they were being put down on pages for us to read later, this is just what the soul does. This is just what a person is inclined to do if they do not follow God. But God would not abandon us, just as he did not abandon his people. Now we have become his people and he won't abandon us. He is the beloved plant of the vineyard. He has made us capable now of being the vine dressers in the vineyard. See, there are no vine dressers mentioned in this parable, whereas in the New Testament parable they are mentioned. And why is this? Because in the Old Testament parable, the people were responsible for growing up as choice grapes, because the vineyard, the choice vine, is the house of Israel, and by association, all human beings, our souls. But in the New Testament parable, the grapes are already a given. They're planted with grapes. And the vine dressers are tending to the grapes, because the grapes are the beloved plant, the man of Judah. And so we are to tend this plant. And how do we tend it? By following the man of Judah. By becoming like him. By accepting his gifts and giving them to others. By being meek and lowly as he is, and taking his yoke upon us. This is how we tend the vineyard as vine dressers. So that's a critical difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament parable. No vine dressers in the Old Testament parable. And also no grapes. But the grapes then were replaced by the man of Judah, the beloved plant. And now we must tend those grapes. This is why, brothers and sisters, read the Old Testament. Read the readings that the church has given for every day. It is truly an enlightening thing to read every day from Isaiah and Genesis and Proverbs. It's truly amazing. And then also, if you can, and get the services for the Lenten Triodium, both the Sundays and all the days. And when you read the things in there, they're truly amazing. Everything points to Christ. Everything is about Christ. And I find it to be very comforting when I see how the people of Israel did so many foolish and stupid things. And if I'd been living with them, I would have done the same foolish and stupid things. I don't feel any superiority. But God found a solution for them. And that was the man of Judah, his beloved plant. It's on every page of the Old Testament. And it becomes sweeter and sweeter every day that you read it. So may God help us to be now vine dressers that tend to the beloved plant, the man of Judah. May God bless you.